In today's episode, we tackle the question that so many pastors need to ask, can I tweet that? As the use of social media has increased, so has its ability to get church leaders into hot water. To help you navigate these challenging times, we discuss five specific ways your church can steer clear of the minefield that is social media this year. We hope it helps you reach people the right way. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Well, hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast, episode number 13, lucky number 13. I'm your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. Hey, how's it going?
Going good, Ian. Yeah, looking forward to our conversation here today. Mm-hmm. Our topic should be a challenging one, yeah. I would say. Maybe it's kind of a crazy time that we're living through. It is, can we tweet that? How to use social media in a divided election year. I think this is so important for churches to tackle because, give a little context if you're listening to this late, the first presidential debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, that happened this week on Tuesday. We're recording it on Thursday, October 1st. A couple days ago, we had that debate and it was...
You could say a lot of things. Yeah.
We could say. And for churches, a lot of times I find that it's best to not say a lot of things about this kind of stuff there. But, you know, even not saying something in our divided, crazy time we're in, that could be explosive. Have you found that?
I've found that. Yes. Silence. The sin of silence, I guess, is how some people look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. So if you I guess it comes from the idea that those that are silent when injustice is happening are just as guilty of as those that are actively doing injustice, I guess, is the thought behind it. I don't know that I buy into that. I think scripturally, I am a firm believer that being slow to speak and quick to listen, I think that's something that is still valuable and it didn't go away because of social media. But we want to give, I think, pastors today some ideas on how to manage this because social media is an absolute minefield trying to deal with these kinds of conversations that that are happening. And I don't care what kind of church you are. I would assure you that almost every church in our country, there are people that if you come out one way or another in anything political, there are people that will be offended at least and probably stop coming and not be a part of your church and speak poorly of your church just because of what your political beliefs as a leader in that church might be. So it really is a crazy time.
It is. It is a crazy time. Yeah. And that is what you can say.
Yeah. So what we have is we have five different items that we put together of pieces of advice we would have for churches on how to navigate this minefield of social media in an election season. Every election year, it's a little bit challenging, but this one, I am not currently pastoring a church. I pastored one in the last election cycle, and it was tough then. Yeah. I can't even imagine now, you know, with the politicization of the coronavirus and everything that's happening there. And it is a tough thing. So we have five different things that we've kind of put together here. We wanted to share with our viewers and listeners to kind of give them some ideas on how to manage that. But I wanted to set the tone with what the stakes are. I just know that there is a lot riding on this. There are people that will literally break off relationship with us nowadays if we don't share their political beliefs. And so how do you think you manage something like that? I mean, I don't know if you have any just general thoughts on that, Ian, before we get into the five. Do you have anything to share about that?
Oh, goodness. You know, I think what I can share is that, it's very hard to manage because I'm someone who's on social media, but I don't get political on social media. I choose not to. Yeah. I don't have Personally, I don't feel like I have the time to manage all of the comments, and it's like a full-time job if you post something political.
Oh my goodness.
and I think I noticed the people that are the most political, I don't know what they, if they work for a living or, you know, because that it's a full-time job managing that. So yeah, I think as someone, my wife and I both, who don't, we choose not to get political. We've often, we've recently, even after the debate, you know, kind of ran into, just because we shared something encouraging that was not political at all. But it was during this time when everyone's emotions were peaked after the debate. And because it was an encouragement for all people, it still came off to some as we were siding with one party. So it's already caused a strain on a couple of relationships, which I think is just so unfortunate, you know. And you know, where are the days where you just called someone and you talked about an issue?
Yeah, gone. Long gone. Why do that when you can insult them in front of a thousand of their closest friends?
That's right. That's perfect. You kill, you know, several birds with one stone, I guess.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So, well, let's not hold back then. We'll get into the five here. The first one is that we believe that it is wise counsel for churches to delete any social comments that take you off message when you can do that. And so let me explain what we mean by that is that on social media platforms, if you have any kind of a presence, at some point you will have people that comment or say things that are not in alignment with the church's position. And for the most part, I think it is a good idea to delete that when you can. And let me give you an example. So for us as an organization at Reach Right here, we are a Christian, unabashedly Christian, led by pastors, and we help churches, and that's what we do. And we offer services that help churches do websites. And then one of the big ones we do now is helping them with the Google grant. And we do a lot of things on social media promoting our services, where we help churches spend that $10,000 a month that Google gives to churches. And so we help them spend that. But I got to tell you, every single day on our social media posts, we get several people that comment on there about how evil Google is and how nobody, I had one the other day that was hilarious. They said, "I would rather cut off my hand with a butter knife than take money from Google," is what they put on there. So humorous. And listen, I'm not trying to defend, it's not my job to defend Google or their positions. There's all kinds of things that I'm sure that as an organization that we would, we obviously do very differently than how they run things. So that's not the point of what I'm trying to say here. But when we get those kinds of comments, I have faced with a choice. I can either respond and say, "Hey, you don't understand. Here's what we're trying to do," and try to give give kind of our reasoning, or I can just hit delete, or even better, delete and ban. So we don't have to have that kind of conversation anymore with these kinds of things. And I think the value to that, I think, be very careful if you're going to engage with someone that's coming negatively online towards you, because there's so many reasons. Number one, it gives them more search engine velocity. So it'll start to, if there's a lot of comments on something, the algorithm starts to boost it, and it'll show up at the top of people's feeds. And it puts this dissension right front and center for a lot of people that maybe you don't want that there. And I'm just reminded of Jesus and the way that he was constantly, they constantly tried to take him off of message. Every time the Pharisees would come at him and they'd say, you know, "What do you think about your disciples healing on a Sabbath?" Or, "What do you think about your disciples that they're walking through the fields?" The Sabbath was kind of the big issue of the day there. And he would always push back on them and not try to answer their foolish questions that were trying to trap him, because they were taking him off message about what he was trying to do. And listen, I believe churches have the most important message in the entire world, and we need to be careful that we're not giving credence to things that take us off message. So my advice is, when in doubt, throw it out, delete it, and get rid of those kinds of things that take you off messages when you can. So what do you think about that?
I totally agree. And we obviously, as the Church of Jesus Christ, you know, the whole body of Christ, that we do have the biggest message to stay on track with. And I think that that's a good practice, even when we're not in this type of political climate that we are. That's always just a good practice to stay on message and know what you're called to do. And so, yeah, it's very important. And I think that it also, like we were joking about at the beginning, will help you avoid having to have an all day battle on social media when you may not have the volunteer, the staff to keep up with that. Absolutely.
I don't know if you're like me, but I'm the kind of guy where this is hard, right? Because like, I don't know if it's my own struggle with pride or what it is, but when someone gets on there and says something that is really, they're taking what I said wrong they have an opinion that I just don't agree with. My inclination is to get up in their face and come back at them hard and put them in their place. That's what I would naturally do. But I have learned that lesson that it costs you more to do that. And sometimes you have to just let go of those kinds of things. And it's so much easier just to delete it and silence that kind of stuff.
Deleting could be like turning the other cheek, right?
So that's a good way to put it. Yeah. So we'll just let it slide and get rid of it.
Well, another reason why that's good to do is to stay on message and often delete things that would cause those types of issues brings us to our next point, number two, which is treat all posts as content that will be online permanently. And that is just something that I think in the last couple of years, with not just the political climate, what we've been going through as a country and with the coronavirus and just seeing people of high positions fall within church and the political and business arena, is that, you know, now we got to have this mindset that, hey, when something is put online, you know, it's going to stay there now. It is now in the cloud, as they would say, and it's going to go there. So that's very important, is that when you post something, just know it's there to stay, years to come. When you may want to run for president, remember it was there.
I think that's one of the things, is that when you delete a tweet or you delete a post, don't be mistaken in thinking that Facebook actually removes it from everything that they've ever done. They it's still there. Like it may not show up on your wall anymore. Yeah. And people have the power to screenshot things and remember that. I find it interesting. Every year now, I'm a football fan. I know you are too.
Same and we have a lot of banter back and forth on that, but that's another.
We do have some banter
that's
on that.
That's a podcast in itself. Yeah.
That's a totally separate topic of a podcast.
Yeah. Yes, but that's it.
I love watching the NFL draft, but what's become the standard for the NFL draft every single year now is they look at all these kids, and there's people that go in and look at everything that these kids that are getting drafted, everything they've ever tweeted, ever said online, trying to find anything offensive. And it's literally cost some of these high draft picks millions of dollars because they said something back when they were 16 years old. They quoted a rap lyric or something like that they had no business quoting, or whatever it is. It cost them millions of dollars. And that's the idea, is that the things that you put online when you're 16 years old, they still can have the power to come back and haunt you when you're an adult, when you're in your money. I tell this to my kids. My kids are just getting into that social media age where we're starting to let them dabble in it a little bit, but they need to know that anything they say, even as like a 15-year-old, that's going to have an impact, and employers and people in your future and colleges, they will all see this kind of stuff. And the same thing goes for pastors, is that don't think that just because you put it on there now that you'll have the ability to take that off. So if you, I'm not saying that most things that are in scripture are timeless. Right. I don't think that that's going to change. So confidently post scripture online. Right. There is no changing in those things, but I think be careful with the things that you put out there, because it's going to be on there forever. That's absolutely the case.
That's it. Totally. Yeah.
Well, let me tackle number three then. We'll dig into this. And this one, I think it hit close to home for us. We've seen this one really play out in some experiences this year, but be careful what you retweet and like. So it's not just the comments that you put onto social media. It's also when you click that little heart button on Instagram, or that little heart button on Twitter, or what you retweet. And even sometimes you'll see people on Twitter that say retweets do not equal endorsements. But even when you do that, people will take those kinds of things as an endorsement. And we just saw that over this summer, I believe, here with Pastor Chris Hodges, Church of the Highlands there in Alabama, right?
Yep, that's right.
And they went through just something. There was a hard campaign, for those of you that don't know in our audience, a hard campaign to cancel Pastor Chris Hodges, one of the largest churches in the country, what I believe to be a fantastic church, a church of the Highlands there. Yeah. He clicked on a tweet from a conservative author, somewhat mainstream. It wasn't some kind of a radical far right position, but it was a mainstream conservative tweet. And he clicked like on it. And this got wind, people got wind of this. And there was a giant campaign to change their relationship with the state and with the schools that they were meeting in. And so this great church, they have campuses meeting in schools, and they get kicked out of the schools that the church services are meeting in, because the pastor clicked like on a mainstream conservative tweet.
That's insane.
Nuts.
Yeah, it is
absolutely nuts.
Nuts
that those kinds of things are happening in this day and age. But I think if you're under the impression that hitting like is somehow not as big of a deal as writing out a comment, it's basically an endorsement of all those kinds of things. And so, listen, we're not here to comment on what those positions or conservative or liberal type takes on things. You take that up with the Lord and be who you are. But what we're here to say is that you just need to understand that whatever you like, whatever you retweet, those things will be taken as endorsements, and they can be used to affect things that are happening at your church. So I don't know. Have you seen that kind of stuff happening too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it could be something small. Like I was just saying, given the example of my wife sharing something encouraging, but at the wrong time, when I say at the wrong time, it was, during this, again, heated time after that first debate. And it was just taken out of context, and it wasn't even political, but yet it was used against her as a political ammo, if you will.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. And it goes back to also just, what the scripture you quoted at the beginning too, just slow to speak, quick to listen. Think about it. Think about it before you like something. It could be something that even at first glance you think is just not a big deal, but you got to kind of step back a little bit now. And this is why I think we see a lot of people, normal people, not just people in the limelight, just posting less compared to they used to on Facebook. Mm. I remember I'd post something silly on Facebook, I sure am hungry. Can't wait to go to lunch today or something. I just making that up, and now a lot of people just posted, anything. And now it's just, I might go sometimes a month without posting something just because, it's like a whole endeavor. But again, so it's just good to stop and think about that.
I've converted completely to family and friends type posts pictures of us doing things. But even that can be a minefield now. So going out surfing the other day with my daughter, and I put a picture up, and someone has the audacity to write, "Where's your mask?" Everything is absolutely political in everything that we do.
Here in Texas, where football, baseball's die hard. My kid plays both of those sports, and I'm personally thankful that even over the summer when a lot was shut down, they were allowed to go outside, and it was deemed that was safe and everything. And so he's had a baseball season that has started, and we've seen comments like, they're actually playing sports, and it's almost like we're the enemy now, for letting our kid get out and play some sports. So it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
So I think I'm reminded of another verse from James, and I can't give you the address of the verse, but the power of the tongue. Right. Yeah. And I think social media is really about that power of the tongue nowadays. And that is you can see how the tongue can set an entire forest ablaze, right? Yeah. How it talks about that idea, or it can steer a ship. And we talk about those things, but the forest ablaze thing, which is apropos with all the fires and stuff going on right now, you can start like one small thing that comes out of your tongue or comes out of your keyboard or your phone, that can really start a forest fire that gets out of control. We need to be aware of those kinds of things. Yeah. And the way you do that is being really careful and not indiscriminately clicking likes and clicking and retweeting things. Just be really cautious with that is our advice to pastors.
That leads us to our next point. I was about to say, carefully, number four here, carefully address comments outside of your control. And so, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is like, you know, if you get a bad Yelp review, you know, you got to be careful how much you address that. You can't control, you know, if you're a restaurant owner or something and, you know, waiter messed up, had a bad day, you know, you don't want to stoke that fire. It happened already. You got the bad review. All you can do focus on now is getting better. Because if you start to address those things that are outside of your control, well, it takes you in a whole another direction, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that, so this is to contrast with the first point. So first that we said, when it's in your control and it's off message of what you want to be as a brand or as a church, just delete it. Like you don't need to go there. If someone's going to come on and say, hey, I went to that church and I, the pastor was a jerk and I didn't really like him, and you know, delete it. You don't need to, you don't need to engage with those things online. But when it's out of your control, like you mentioned, someone putting a review on Yelp, which still strikes me as odd that we can review churches. It's just a crazy world that we live in. Could you imagine if Paul and Peter got reviews for the ministry that they did, like what people might have said in those times there things they did?
Just, it was kind of a weak miracle. It wasn't as powerful of a miracle as you know, what John did.
But that's the world we live in now where, you know, we get to review. And so if your church has been around at all and you have an online presence, you will start to get social media reviews, Yelp reviews, those kinds of things, and you can't usually delete those things, or sometimes you can appeal to them and say, hey, this isn't it's a fake review, or this is a competitor church. I don't know who what you could say exactly, but when that's the case, I guess our encouragement is you have to ride this fine line of you don't want it to descend into a long string of back and forth. So if someone gets onto Yelp and says, hey, I didn't like this because this pastor teaches some specific doctrine. Maybe you're a church that has women in ministry and this person doesn't like that. And they get on there about how all the scriptures about how you shouldn't have women in ministry. My encouragement to you, if that's the case, is to be very cautious. You do need to respond. So you need to say something to respond to that complaint, or because if you just leave it out there, it feels like it's weak and that you're trying to dodge any kind of criticism that you may have. But you also don't want to respond in a way that would invite more back and forth and more people piling on with the same kind of an issue. Because if someone writes to you about how they don't view there should be any women in ministry, and you happen to be a church that believes that you should, and you write back and you give them all kinds of verses about why you think women should be in ministry, and then they respond, and then someone else searching about women in ministry who doesn't believe in it, they'll find your post when they search on Google and they'll start to chime in. And then before you know it, you'll have the top result on Google when people look for women in ministry, and it'll be something you don't want to be. It takes you off message again. So we really need to be careful. I think the right approach is to say something to the effect of, hey, we can hear where you're coming from. And we believe that a lot of good Christians can disagree on this kind of an issue. We'd love to have you come back and have a discussion in person. So you try to get that offline right away. Like that's the main thing, is let's talk about this. And I think there's biblical precedent for that, right? We shouldn't be having our conflict and our disagreement in front of the entire world. We should be good at bringing this to one another and having these discussions and disagreements in a one-on-one basis, because we want to make sure we're presenting the gospel in the best light possible.
That's right. I totally agree. You know, that's why it says, you know, if someone's offended you, you take it to them. And or if someone's wronged you, you rebuke them in a loving way face to face. And I think that, again, you know, the great thing about it is, even as crazy as this world is right now on social media, we can always, I like how in this podcast right now, we're steering everything back to scripture, which is not something that we're not trying to over spiritualize it. We have like, you know, we talk about tech stuff, but really Jesus, he knows the answer for what we're going through here these days. And, and absolutely. It's kind of funny, case in point, you know, there was a lot that was outside of my wife's control that was being twisted and commented on her post. And one of the best things she did was she kind of left it alone for a while. And everyone was kind of calming on that. And someone finally came to her rescue, actually, and kind of commented in her defense, and then it kind of just went away, and we're just kind of like, good, that's done. Yep. Thanks. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Let's move on. So,
yeah, that's it. Yeah. I think one thing I'll say is that even when people are coming to your defense, as good as that feels,
right.
a lot of times that can continue the barrel rolling down the hill, right?
Yeah, you're right.
And so we want to be careful, like, you know, I as nice as that is, I think just being careful with that and trying to invite people to take the conversation offline.
Right.
I think that's really what is best. Like, acknowledge their concerns, make sure they feel heard, and then try to pull it offline. That's our biggest advice on that there. So
that's good.
Yeah. Let me wrap it up with number five here. And this one is kind of obvious, but I want to explain why. It's work to establish a strong social media presence of your own. And here's the thought behind it is that if you have a strong social media presence, that means when you speak online, that your words get out to a much broader audience and you can nip these kinds of things in the bud much more effectively than if you have a small social media presence. So if you're a large church with very few people or very little interactivity on your social media platforms, well, you don't, when you say something, it doesn't get the audience that you would if you had a large social media platform.
Right.
So I think just in general, there's so many reasons why for churches it's valuable to communicate through social media channels right now. And I know I watched the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma. I know all of the kind of the arguments against it. But I think from a brand and a corporate perspective, there still is value for churches and really any kind of a business or organization to have a presence. You can say what you will about our personal use of social media. It may not be valuable, and I find it having less and less significance in my life because, like you were saying, I find myself posting less, looking at it less. I think that most of the content that I loved about it originally, of catching up with lost friends and people I didn't know, I hadn't seen in a long time, that kind of stuff has waned, and it's moved much more to you know, what sells online is disagreement and dissension, and that's just not something I'm interested in.
Right.
I think just it is important still for churches and brands to have to build a strong social media presence because it enables you to have a bigger voice to speak into these kinds of issues and to stop things when they're getting off the rails here. So thoughts?
Yeah, and I think the temptation. I have a lot of friends that have left social media, you know, and that might be the temptation to pastors listening to us here today is that, you know, why do I even want to be on social media? Because they've probably experienced some of this, but you still want to keep your influence, like you're saying, and more that we can influence people towards Jesus and be an influential church leader, the better. So it's worth the fight, but I think if we exercise the, you know, wisdom like we're talking about and kind of know the do's and don'ts, it's still a worthwhile endeavor. That came to mind when you were mentioning that, partner, because just we in the last couple of days we've had friends that just, I'm leaving social media, I'm done, you know, and all the political
stuff. I've had lots of friends that said they're leaving social media, but funnily they're still on social media, it seems. I've read that post many times. It's right when I try to get out, it pulls me back in, kind of a thing, right?
It's the mafia.
That's how that works there. I still think that it is important. And I, again, you know, going back to scripture, I see that it is the public square for us, right? Mm-hmm. And it reminds me a lot of the way that they used Mars Hill to go and to talk about spirit. Nobody made an argument that Mars Hill was a Christian place where only Christians could go and talk, but it was a place where people, they brought ideas and they would share about different religious and faith-related things or political discourse. And all that stuff is happening on social media. That doesn't mean it's a net good or a positive thing, but I think it's something that can be used for positive. And I do think that in this day and age where we need to be communicating, it is one of the brightest spots for us to be able to get the message of Jesus Christ out to people. So I think churches should use it, but we just wanted to offer these five things as a way that you can carefully navigate the way that you use it and try to keep yourself out of some of that hot water that's out there. So anything else to add?
No. I'll end with a story, and this dates me a little bit. But remember MySpace?
I do. Yes.
Yeah, so I had a MySpace page that I was very proud of. And I was a new believer on fire. And I even had like music playing, you know, gospel music playing. And but let me tell you something. I led a guy back to the Lord through MySpace.
Get out of here.
And so it's worth it. That's all I'm saying. And how did you do that?
How did that happen?
So you remember it had a feature where you can kind of blog on there. And I'm kind of remembering that now. And I had shared, I'd shared just a topic, a spiritual topic. And I think it was kind of more of a testimonial thing in how I came back to faith, and that it just totally hit home with the guy. He related to it because he had kind of drifted the same way I did. And then how I shared it came back. And, you know, he's brought him to tears, and later on we connected and he got closer to the Lord. And so you reminded me of that. I think that's the thing, is that there's still power in it and God can use it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is awesome. So I haven't heard of a MySpace conversion yet. So that's great.
You'll hear about it in heaven. There'll be a lot of MySpace conversions.
A lot of MySpace conversions. Can't wait.
Yeah, so, there you go.
Well, good, good. Thank you guys for sticking around with us and taking part of this with us. If you have any other feedback for us, leave it in the comments. I can't promise you we won't delete it if it's taking us off message, but do leave it. We love to have conversations with like-minded people on this. The best thing you guys can do, though, is if this has been important to you or good for you, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, wherever you watch this. It really means a lot to us, and it's really getting this out there to lots of church leaders. So thank you so much for all your help with that, and we'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.